All right, let's have our little meeting.
Do you want to identify yourself?
You can just talk.
Yes, my name is Benjamin Alec Ladle, Assistant District Manager, Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, Chicago, Illinois, located Elk Grove Village. Mr. Rozanski, I would like to have your complete statement as to what happened at the Goodyear Service Store in Forest Park, please.
All right, do you want the complete story or what happened at the specific time that I complained about?
The complete story.
All right. I phoned Goodyear to make an appointment to bring in a car for a brake adjustment and to have a stoplight switch repaired. Someone at the other end of the line told me that they were busy that day. If I could bring it in the next day, they'd be able to get it out. I brought it in the next day. I called that morning to confirm, and they said, fine, if I bring it in, I can get it then. I dropped the car off approximately 1 o'clock. I didn't have time to wait. I left the car, saw the service manager, who was very busy at the time. He was unloading tires from a truck, and said, I want to have my brakes adjusted, put the stoplight switch on, do a good job, and I'll see you later, and took off. I returned at about 6:30, and I see my car is up on blocks, the wheels are off, the brake drums are apart, and I said, what the hell is going on here? And they look at me like, you know, what's going on? And they tell me they're doing a brake job. I said, brake job? I want a brake adjustment. Look at the car. The side is bashed in, the tie rods need repair, the springs are sagging, the windows are broke, the upholstery is shot. What kind of brake job in a car like this? This should go to the junkyard. There was a Gene who was, I presume, the service manager, according to the little nameplate, and a Ron was on a shirt, another fellow working on the car. I told him, stop the job, let's find out just what's going on. They gave me a bill of what they had done and what they were doing, which amounted to approximately $72. I complained about wheel bearings, because I had just had wheel bearings put on the car May the 13th, and showed them a check that I just paid to have wheel bearings put on. I questioned if it was necessary or what. Gene came back and said what he would do. They would either stop the job, put the wheels back and leave it alone, or they would complete the job. I was thinking to myself, well, I can stop the job because I don't want to put any dough into the car, but the truth of the matter was I did not trust the men in putting the car back in proper condition. So I felt that just to see, let them go through with the job and finish it. They said they would leave the price of the wheel bearings out and charge me approximately $60. I said, finish the job, I'll be back at 8 o'clock. I came back and the car wasn't ready. And I intended fully to come back and pay them the $60 and put a stop payment on the check and then have it out with Goodyear directly. As it was, I got back the next morning. I had to have the car. I was going away on vacation. I wanted to leave it with my girl. When I got there the next morning, Ron Gary was the gentleman that I had talked with. Ron identified himself as being assistant manager. I explained the situation to Ron. Ron looked in his book and he says, I'm the one that took your original call. And he showed me in the book, brake adjustment and stoplight switch repair. He says, you know, he understands there's some problem here. What would be a fair way to handle it? I said, will you tell me how you think a fair way to be handling it? He indicated if I paid him strictly for the parts, nothing for the labor, would I consider it fair? Frankly, I was on my way out of town. I wanted to get the damn thing taken care of. I said, fine. He ran an adding machine tape. It came to something like $36 and change. I gave him a check, and that was it. Now, I could have put stop payment on the check. I could have charged the darn thing. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to have the time or the trouble, and I just dropped the matter right then and there. They did not have the stoplight switch. Gary said they would be ordering it, and I should stop back. When I left town, I instructed my girl to stop by, number one, and drop off some parts that I had taken along. I wanted to have them inspected. And part two, to have that brake light taken care of. She parked the car there. I'm not sure exactly where she parked it. She pulled it in between two parked cars, left instructions with someone to the brake light switch, and took my daughter across the street. My mother-in-law happens to live across the street. And when she got back, they had pulled a third car behind the Olds, blocking it off. I don't know exactly what had happened, but the gist of it was, is Ron said something like, "You owe us some money and you're not getting your car back." She had some third party, some stranger, help her push this other car away that they parked behind the Olds. She backed it off and she left in a huff. When I got back from out of town, she had told one of my associates that she didn't have the car taken care of and she wasn't going to go back there. She was afraid. Tuesday evening, I was picking up my mother-in-law, who happens to live across the street at a store, and it was raining, and there was some woman with her who I didn't know. I was just going to give her a ride because it was raining. She was talking to my mother-in-law. We were driving by, and I passed the Goodyear store, and I saw the service manager standing in front. So I stopped, pulled into the lot, and asked them if they got the service switch. And the exact words that were exchanged, I couldn't repeat. I'm really not sure. The gist of it was is that I screwed him out of some money. I pulled a chintzy deal on him by going over his head and settling for less than he and I made a deal. And it was basically an abusive type of conversation. He then proceeded to open my car door and said, "If you step out here, I would kill you. And if there weren't any people in the car, I would kill you." And I pulled my door shut, I started the engine, and I drove off, and I said, "I will have your job." I got home and phoned your store. I talked to the manager and explained the situation to him. The manager commented to me. He said, "We really expected you to put a stop payment on that check. You were quite a gentleman not to." I told him that I was going to turn this over to my attorneys. I called my attorney that evening. It was in between the time that he'd be traveling from his office to his home. I waited for him to get home. I called him and I pointed out exactly what had happened. I said, "What shall we do? We have a threat here. We have a false imprisonment of my car. We have perhaps a civil rights problem because they abused my colored maid. We might have a fraud where they buffed me up on their price. I don't know what the hell we have, but I sure as hell know we've got something. What shall we do?" He said, "Well, the first thing you could do is go to the local police station, swear out a warrant for him, and charge him with a criminal act. That will mean they will pick him up, they will take him to court, and the judge will probably put a $100 bond and set a date for trial. $100 bond means he'll have to put up $10. He may and he may not get himself a lawyer. If he gets a lawyer, the lawyer will come in the first time and continue it. He might come in a second time and continue it. All these times you will have to be going there to be there at the time to at the trial." I said, "All right, Jerry, what if I just put the little scare in him and just take out the warrant and just never show? At least give him a little scare." He said, "Then you may be charged with false arrest and leaving yourself open for a civil suit." I said, "Okay, we'll drop that. What should we do about a civil suit?" He says, "Well, you can sue. What were the actual damages?" I said, "Actual damages were none, really. It was just a threat. He scared me. He shook me up, but no actual damages." He says, "All right, so you'll sue him and you'll collect the dollar and you'll have a moral victory, but it's really not worth your time and effort. Why don't you just call the head man at the office and raise holy hell, get it off your chest, get your satisfaction that way, and that's it. The next morning, I called and I wanted to speak to the top man of the office. I have the names upstairs of all the people that I talked with until it settled down to Mr. McKellar. And I gave the story to Mr. McKellar, and the next, he said he would follow through. He went, tut, tut, sound serious. And the next thing I heard was from you. That's the story.
Mr. Rozanski, at this point, we will admit that the brake job, the full brake job, was started in error because we did not refer to our appointment chart. But in the process of being shown what work had been done on the car up to the point when you arrived to pick up your car, were you given an opportunity to examine the condition of the parts of the car that were in the process of being replaced? And did they mention to you that they were in a serious condition? And were you given the opportunity to buy?
Yes, they showed it to me. As far as the serious condition, I frankly looked at it. I couldn't see where those brake bands were so worn. They are not more than 1 year old with a 40,000 mile guarantee on them. I even told them who put on the brake job, and Ron said he knew the guy that did it. The drum, he talked about something of if the tolerance is over some thousandths of an inch, it's against state law that you're allowed to drive that way, and they had to put on a new drum. He agreed that he would put the car back, put all the parts back, and just adjust the brakes. I don't know if he said he'd adjust the brakes or what. He did agree. There was a few moments that I just kind of pondered it, and I felt I was not going to trust these guys to just throw it together again. The entire...
rather than trust them to put the car back together, you agreed upon...
I agreed to put on the brakes. Right. I said finish the job of $60 plus.
$60.85.
All right, if that's what you say.
At which time you left the car and agreed upon the complete job at $60.85. And when you returned for the car, they notified you at the same time that you had a bad idler arm, I believe. Is this correct on the car?
I don't know what an idler arm is.
And they also made comment that the car would have to be aligned. Is this correct?
When he put on the wheel, I could see it shake, and I said, what the hell is that? And he says, your tie rods are
tie
bad.
Tie rod. Excuse me, you are correct.
He said, your tie rods are bad.
Tie rod is, was
I
bad.
Said, that's even more stupid for you to have done this job. I told him that the right front tire wears improperly. He says, you probably should have it aligned.
Why was the car left there overnight and to be picked up?
Because it wasn't finished when I came back to pick it up.
And at this particular time, the brake job only was to be completed and not the tie rod end.
That's right. That's correct. There was no comment on the tie rods.
And when you returned in the morning, you spoke to Ron Gary, at which time, who took the initiative in commenting about the $60.85 brake job, which was previously agreed upon?
I have a feeling that Gary did. I'm not sure, but if he didn't, I would have. I'm not sure.
I would like to have you put that in there as long as we're doing this.
It's in here. It's in here.
Ron Gary.
Please turn up the volume.
Ron,
make sure we got
it. Are you
it.
Sure that Ron Gary made the comment about the $60.85 brake job the time in the morning when you picked up your car?
Say that again?
Did Ron Gary make any comment to you about the brake job for $60.85 at the time you picked up the car in the morning? Or did you make a comment to Ron Gary? Or better still, who prompted who to arrive at an adjustment price of $36 for the complete brake job?
Let's say that I did. Let's say that I did.
What prompted you, Mr.
I pointed out to him exactly what had happened. And I said, what the hell gives check it in your book. And he looked in the book and he said it was a mistake. I got the indication from our conversation that I probably could have just paid him $1.19 and left. I didn't want to be a Scrooge.
Did they agree, Mr. Rozensky, to put the car back together before completing the brake job and thereby charge you only for a brake adjust and a backup switch or a stop light switch?
They agreed to put the car back together.
And you agreed rather than let them put the car back together because you make a comment they were incapable?
I didn't say incapable. I said the atmosphere was stormy.
I don't believe you said the atmosphere was stormy.
Well, then I'm saying it now.
I more or less implied that you did not trust their abilities, and rather
it wasn't their abilities. I think it was their character and integrity that I didn't trust.
Rather than to do this, you agreed with the $60.85.
That's correct. That's correct.
At which time, Ron Gary took it upon himself, with no consultation from store management, to adjust the price downward, which you agreed upon at an agreed price of $36, I believe, and 56 cents.
If that was the amount of check I gave him, that's correct.
Is this correct, Mr. Rozensky?
Right.
Did you stop payment on the check, Mr. Rozensky?
I did not. But if I paid him $60, I would have.
Then do you agree at this point that your services, the services that were rendered to your car at the charge of $36 is fair?
It was the most convenient way for me to handle it and not get involved. I'm a busy man and I just didn't want to get involved. I felt this was a simple way. It cost me $36 for experience to deal with an outfit that I have since found out has bushed other people, have a reputation, or I know people will not go back to Goodyear.
Are you prepared, Mr. Rozensky, to prove these statements?
I am prepared.
Thank you.
You want the name of the guy? I just happened to have met him last night and told him about the store, and he says, those bastards, they did that to me, too. He says, you ought to go to...
I would prefer that you include his name.
His name is Melvin B. Levitt.
Thank you, sir.
And he told me I should have gone to the place on Harlem, and I think it's Madison.
Your colored maid that brought the car over, did she come to the Goodyear service store specifically to have the car repaired, namely the stoplight switch, or did she park in the lot as a convenience while she
She came in there specifically to get that stoplight switch because the police had stopped her for not having it.
With whom did she speak when she first arrived at the store?
I don't know.
Who had the car pushed back that was blocking her in her parking place?
My understanding is she and some stranger.
Did she make... it is my understanding...
You know, Mr. Bladel, we're wasting a lot of time. The thing that I am mad about and object about, number one, is you are irritating me. Number two, I object to the specific action and the specific threat of Gene. I settled this deal with Ron. I felt to hell with it. I got bushed. I got took. All right, so I got safe breaks.
Fine.
To hell
okay,
with
Mr.
it.
Okay, Mr. Rozensky, it appears then that we can talk. Why don't you turn the
No, we can off. Talk with this
no,
thing on.
No, I'd rather not.
I insist.
Well, Mr. Rozensky, as long as you have it on. Mr. Rozensky, I have spoken to all store employees involved. And I was quite explicit in the questions that I asked the employees after being notified by Mr. McKellar of the statements that you had made to him. I have been assured by the employees involved, and your story at this point is quite true as to the statements made by the employees, but from this point on, your statements of threat do not at all agree with the statements that are prepared to be rendered by the employees of the Goodyear Service Store in River Forest. Your statements are quite heavy. and I am here to discuss the matter with you. Mr. Rozanski, this is it.
I happen to have witnesses that were sitting in the car at the time those statements were made to me.
The service manager by the name of Gene of the River Forest store, Mr. Rozanski, has a witness also.
Fine.
Who is prepared to...
Fine. What did Gene say he said?
The comment that was made as he opened the door of the car, as you mentioned, and whether he spoke to you in terms of Mr. Rozanski or Ben, this I am not prepared to say, but he told you to step out of the car and he would speak to you like a man.
And what was the second statement?
I have no second statement, Mr. Rozanski.
Well, he should put in that second sentence.
Are you prepared, Mr. Rozanski, with his witness and your witness?
I'm prepared.
That's all, Mr. Rozanski. This is all I can go by, Mr. Rozanski. I spoke to my people, and I am speaking to you. I'm an
Mr. Bladel, did he admit opening up my car door?
Yes, sir.
What did he have in mind?
He wanted to speak to you, I believe, because it was raining, and one would have to stand in the rain. What he had in mind, I cannot say. I am in no position to say, but he did open your car.
Mr. Bladel is an intelligent man, and I suppose you are an intelligent man. You supposedly hold a responsible position. You're the assistant to Mr. McKellar, from what I could check with Goodyear. What does it sound like to you when a man reaches over, opens up your car door, and says, if you step out here, I'd like to talk to you like a man, and send you right to the stars?
Was this comment made, Mr. Rozanski?
Right to the stars. And secondly, when I started to close the door, he said, if those women weren't in the car, I would kill you. Now, I don't know the woman's name that was in the car. I happened to have picked her up on the street. She was talking to my mother-in-law. But I know where she works, and I can find her.
Your mother-in-law was in the car.
My mother-in-law was in the car. My daughter was in the car, and this lady. And I know where to find this lady. She happens to work.
Mother-in-law, your daughter,
and a
friend, not even a friend.
Not even a friend. She happens to...
Are prepared to swear that such a statement was made.
That's right. Now, let me tell you something. I've got to be practical in the amount of time and the amount of things involved to go ahead and have all these people come in and swear. What the hell is it going to prove? It's only going to prove that Goodyear is a damn lousy outfit.
No, I don't believe so, Mr. Rozanski. At this point, we are trying to arrive at a settlement, but it appears that there are other things involved. In defense of our company and in defense of the employees of the River Forest store, I can only quote what has been told to me. I will admit at this time that our store was wrong in proceeding with a complete brick job, so to speak, without referring to their work order. But in defense of the store, you had been given the opportunity to have the car returned to its original position.
Mr. Bladel, this is not the question. This is not the problem. This is not why you are here. You are here because a service manager of your organization threatened me. This is why you are here.
Mr. Rozanski, at this particular point, then we are prepared for you to proceed.
Good day.
Good day, sir.